glad you're here this morning, and our hymn this morning is the chorus, His Name is Wonderful. You may not need a hymnal, but if you do, it's hymn number 203, His Name is Wonderful, Jesus my Lord. Let's stand together.
Skies are gray today, but in heaven the skies are not gray. And some of us may be a little weary today and perhaps struggling with colds or financial troubles or other disappointments, and yet you're not struggling with anything. You are sovereign. You are mighty. You have all the power. This is a bright day for you and a strong day. And so, Lord, we turn to you for strength and brightness and encouragement, and we know that we will get it. Thank you, Lord. Your name is wonderful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 I wanted to see if we have guests today. Forgive my raspy voice. I've not been smoking. But I might take it up. No, I'm kidding. I'm not going to do it. I've been meeting with some guests who are moving so fast they weren't able to come to chapel, but they're working with Ethnic Leadership Development. There are, you know, we have 120 Laotians who are training through Midwestern, and all the other seminaries have over 1,000 students who are in these branches, and they are strategizing and dreaming, and it's a big part of what we're doing. And I don't think they could make it to this. Do we have other guests? I think I might have some here and there. Got any guests today? Well, if you're a secret guest, we love you. We're glad you're here. It's great to have you with us. Today, we have a dramatic monologue, and we're going to see that right now. Thank you.
Why am I hurting? have a guest today from New Orleans, or Nolens, or however they say it, Louisiana. Fred Luter is the kind of man, when you hear him, you say, man, I want other people to hear Fred Luter. And he is, I want other people to meet Fred Luter. He is a pastor of Franklin Avenue Baptist Church in New Orleans, attended the University of New Orleans and New Orleans Seminary, and came to Franklin Avenue about 10 years ago when it was a 65-member mission, and now they have 3,000 members. And he has done a great, great work there. He's practiced church discipline, by the way. Some people will tell you that if you're faithful to do that, then everybody will leave because they won't touch it. But in fact, he has done some courageous and extraordinary things there to make that church mean something. And the Lord has blessed that. Fred was the first African-American member of the executive committee in Louisiana. And he is second vice president of the Southern Baptist Convention. He's a member of the Sunday School Board of the SBC. And it's just a delight. Every time I see Fred Luter speaking, I'll drive a while to hear Fred. Fred, it is wonderful to have you with us. And thanks for coming all the way. His plane was 4 hours late and kind of came in probably worn out. And we thank you for being with us today. Fred, come in.
Good morning. It is really a joy and a delight to be here at Midwestern, giving obedience to God, my Father, Jesus Christ, who is the Lord and the Savior of my life, to Dr. Coppinger, who I really appreciate and admire for his trust and confidence that he has given to me even before I was vice president of the convention several years ago, before he was even president at Midwestern. He invited me up to the executive office in Nashville as being a part of an interview on SBC Life, in which he was the editor of, and just to give me that confidence and some of the things he had read about the church and had never met me before, but just to give me that confidence, it did me all the good in the world, brother. I really appreciate the trust and confidence that you had in me to give me that opportunity. And then to invite me here to be a part of this chapel service today at Midwestern, it's a joy and a privilege. My first time in Kansas City, and so I'm delighted. Thank you all for letting it not snow while I'm here. That helped out a whole lot. I appreciate that very much. I called Bessie on yesterday morning before I left New Orleans. I said, should I bring a coat? She said, yes, indeed, you better bring a coat. It's about 30 degrees, and you know, I'm just leaving New Orleans. It's about 75, 76 degrees there yesterday and coming here in 30 degrees, but I didn't mind the trip because I was eagerly looking forward to being here with you on this morning. And I thank God for this privilege and opportunity, and again, I'm honored and I'm touched about for this privilege that you've given me. Thank you, brother, for this privilege. Turn with me this morning in the time that I have remaining, because I know you have to get the school back to classes, and I want to get you out here in time, and so I do want to take advantage of the opportunity and the time that is given me. Look at Mark chapter 4, Gospel of St. Mark chapter 4. Now I want you to look at verses 35 through 41. When that gentleman first started coming through the door and he was struggling like that and just in pain, I said, well, I look like a pastor after all day Sunday. I said, man, I can definitely identify with that. I definitely look like a pastor. And right now, as Dr. Coppinger said, we started out as a mission church 10 years ago with 65 members, and now we're building a church. But right now, we have three morning worship services, one at 7 a.m. on Sunday mornings. And 7 a.m. on Sunday mornings and 10 a.m. and 12 noon. So I can definitely identify with that brother just struggling in here. But one thing I want to talk to you about today, particularly those of you in ministry, I love ministry. I love what I mean. I never pastored before. Matter of fact, I wasn't even ordained. I was just a licensed preacher when I went to Franklin Avenue 10 years ago as a mission pastor. But I love pastoring. I love the work of the ministry. I love soul winning. I love even the tough parts of sharing with people during difficult times and death and sickness and things like that. And I love the ministry, but also I need to let you know that it's not always the glamour that we see in some of the situations. There's some dark sides and there's some tough sides of ministry, which I want to share with you today to hopefully encourage all of you who are starting out in ministry, and those of us who are in ministry, to keep on keeping on. Mark chapter 4 is where I'll be preaching from this morning. I want you to look at verses 35 through 41 of that chapter. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41 of that chapter. You'll find these words. And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?
And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? I want to speak this morning briefly from the thought, what to do when trouble comes? What to do when trouble comes? My brothers and my sisters, have you ever really wondered what these disciples were thinking when they decided to follow Jesus? Dr. Carpenter, what could have been on their mind? What could they have possibly been thinking? For after all, when Jesus recruited these men, he had not yet started his public ministry, but they followed him. As a matter of fact, many of them may have even heard of this man named Jesus. Maybe they heard Isaiah's report in Isaiah 9:1 that Isaiah said, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And maybe some of them had heard John the Baptist speak about him. When John said, man, y'all think I'm bad. There's a guy coming after me whose shoes I'm not even worthy to tie. And with this limited amount of information, these 12 fishermen, Midwestern made a decision that would literally change their future. Keep in mind that Jesus had not yet started his public ministry, but they followed him. He had not yet preached his famous Sermon on the Mount, yet they followed him. He had not yet given the golden rule, yet they followed him. He had not yet dealt with any of the doctrinal issues or the family issues, but he never dealt with all the things that he has did in his sermon, but they followed him. Not only that, Jesus had not yet performed the many miracles that the scriptures record. He had not yet turned water into wine. He had not yet healed the many sick that was among them. He had not yet raised the dead. He had not yet fed a multitude with two fish and five loaves of bread, yet they followed him. Jesus had not yet performed many of the miracles that the scriptures says, yet these 12 fishermen followed Jesus. These 12 unlearned men, these 12 ordinary people, these 12 fishermen, the Bible said, left all they had and they followed Jesus. Wow, what faith. Well, what faith, my friend, these disciples believed in Jesus, they took him at his word in spite of all the obvious questions, my friends, I know they had. The Bible said they dropped everything and they followed Jesus. My friend, what a lesson for so many of us to learn today. What a lesson for so many of us to learn today. A lesson to learn, friend, learn a lesson from these disciples and realize that in order to be a follower of Christ, you must have faith. The Bible said in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:6 said, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. My friend, in order to be a follower of Jesus Christ, in order to be effective in ministry, you must have faith. Faith to believe that what God says he will do, he will do. Faith to believe that no matter what you face in ministry, that God will bring it to pass. Faith to believe that God will take care of you no matter how difficult it gets, no matter how rough it gets, no matter how tough it gets, no matter how tiring it gets to get from the bed on a Sunday morning, on a Monday morning, and get to the table. God will take care of you. Faith to believe that he'll give you the strength and the power that you need to do the ministry that God has called you to do. Faith to believe that you are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ that loves us. Just like many of us when we leave out these seminaries, as we prepare for ministry, many of you have got to have faith when you go into the churches that God is going to send you into. Because they'll come with these great stories and they'll come and tell you, oh, how great their sanctuary is and how great their pastoral office is and how great the parsonage is. And boy, they'll paint up this great old story and all the great packages that they'll give you. And oh, it sounds so good here at campus. It sounds so good when they interviewed you away. But oh, you go to the place where they promised you to be. And the package is not as exciting as it was when they came to you. The people are not as friendly as they said they were. The harmony is not as close as they said it was. And here you are going into something, but you got to still go into there by faith. I remember 10 years ago when I was asked to pastor Franklin Avenue Baptist Church. My DOM at the time was a gentleman by the name of Nolan Johnston. He's now dead and gone home to be with the Lord. But Nolan Johnston was DOM of our association. He had got tired of putting money into this church. I was the fourth pastor there in 6 years. And he said, Fred, listen, we're tired of putting money into them. We've had a fire here. Things have not gone right with misappropriation of funds. We're tired of, listen, this is your job assignment. I want you to either resurrect this church or we're going to bury it. Excuse me? Brother, I've never pastored before. This is my first. That's your job. You got to resurrect this thing or you've got to bury it. Man, I'm not even ordained yet. This is my first path. You either resurrect this thing or bury it. chariot. I tell you, Dr. Carpenter, that took a lot of faith. But one of the things that I went in there realizing that even though this church was on the midst of dying, I looked at that church and I looked at my life. I looked at what God had did in my life. I looked at 6 years ago, back in October of 1977, when I was in Charity Hospital because of such a situation that I should not have been involved in. Too mean to live and not fit to die. I was not in the Lord. I was living an ungodly life. I was going to hell and enjoying the ride. You know how some people get up there in the testimony and say, oh Lord, thank you for saving me out of this life of sin and trouble. Listen, I don't know about them, but I was enjoying my life of sin. I was having a good time going to hell, but I didn't realize it then that I was on a course of destruction. But what God did, God right there in that hospital bed, a senior member from our church, an old deacon that I grew up with, that grew up in the church, he came to my hospital bed, put his finger in my face, and said, boy, obedience.